Yellow.
Hello. Welcome to the Banana
Hammock.
I'm your host, Nick Wetmore.
Yeah, you are.
Welcome, Martin Ferretti, to the show. Yes, welcome back, as Mr. Cotter once said.
I see.
Did you see my tweet? My countdown tweet?
I did. I replied.
Oh, did you click on the picture? Because I hate when it's cropped out. The whole point was to show you the flavor.
I did.
Chicharrones?
What was it? Korean kimchi barbecue?
Hell yeah, son. If you have if you have a Meijer's by you, they're like $2.69.
Now, my Meijer's is all the way in Colorado.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, they're like small batch. They're not as good, to be honest with you. They're not as good as that 4505 that you can find at Costco.
Mm.
Those are like, they're doing everything right. Like, sure, this brand is like small batches. 4505 does like, I think it's organic, like grass-fed pork. Like, the pork is high quality. And, oh, my Lord, they know how to spice up a chip. It is good.
Yeah, it looks good.
Dude, and I've just discovered, since I'm doing the low-carb love, I have discovered my love for chicharrones, pork rinds, whatever you want to call them. But instead of using breadcrumbs or panko, dude, you crush up a little pork rind.
Yeah.
And it's already, like, you know pork. I mean, you've had pork rinds. I know you well.
I love pork rinds.
Like, the flavor is so intense on any pork rind.
Mm.
Like, more intense than a lot of potato chips. Maybe not as intense as, like, a kettle chip, because those are the Cadillac when it comes to flavor intensity. But you grind up a pork rind and put that on, like, a pork or, like, a chicken breast? Ooh, mamacita. Because you know the pork rind's already salty enough, so you don't need to put any salt on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, my mouth's salivating right now.
It's true. Mm. I like the Golden Flake Louisiana hot sauce pork rind.
Oh, what the hell are those concoctions?
They're delicious, is what they are.
Where do you find those?
Just anywhere that sells Golden Flake. I don't know.
I've never heard of Golden Flake. That must be a regional thing.
Maybe it's not out there. I mean, they're owned by Utz.
Oh, okay, because we do get, I always thought it was Utz, but I mean, Utz just came to Chicagoland, maybe in the last like year and a half, 2 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I've discovered the Utz, and I've fallen in love with the Utz.
Very good. Yeah, Utz is good.
Yeah,
check out the Golden Flake pork rinds.
Oh, I wish I honestly I was hoping you were going to be like, they're at Trader Joe's, you know, where it's like, shoot, they're right there. I could get them. Dang it!
I just get them at the convenience store.
Oh, see, I even Utz, I still want to call it Utz, sorry. Even Utz, it's hard, like, it is a needle in a haystack to find those at any gas station convenience store.
Really?
Yeah, we're still, the monopoly is Lay's or Jay's. That's pretty much the potato chip companies.
Jay's?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a regional thing. It's a Midwest thing.
Interesting.
Jay's, hey, next time you're in Chicago, I'll bring you a bag of Jay's. Jay's has, they have a good chip. They have a good chip. I think you would be impressed.
All right. We'll see.
Not as much as a Seifert's. See, I grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Seifert's was a local chip. I think it was even done in Fort Wayne. And in Chicago, you couldn't get them. You couldn't get them over, you have to go into Indiana to get them. And then all of a sudden, Seifert's made it into Chicagoland, but only their pretzels, and their pretzels are garbage.
Is there like a chip mafia?
I don't know. I'd love to know, because it seems like there's a beer mafia.
I bet there's a chip mafia. It's like, what was that comic that Aftershock put out? The Elliot Ray Hall comic. Damn, now I can't remember. Ronnie's listening. He's going to be so mad that I can't remember.
Oh, he's so mad.
Anyways, but his family, well, the family in the book that's loosely based on his real life family. Is like part of the sandwich mafia.
Is this the one about like going around and filling vending machines?
Yes.
Okay.
Special.
There you go. I heard. Uh-huh. I heard him talking about it on Aftershock. So.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah, but just the Seifords, if you're ever, because I know you drive to C2E2, Seifords barbecue chips, probably a Cadillac. And their sour cream and onion, if you like that flavor combo, it's a Cadillac too. Mm. You cannot eat one. You will finish the bag. And it's a big ass bag. Yeah.
I'm going to have to check it out. We haven't talked about this, but I've been doing carnivore for like a month.
Ooh, Mr. Meaty. Okay, do tell.
Yeah. It's been great. So I bought a grill. Because, I mean, you got to grill meat.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So I grill like 3 or 4 times a week now. It's awesome.
Gas, charcoal, what is it?
Listen. What? I'm not a peon, okay? It's charcoal.
Hell yeah.
Okay? Gas is for losers that don't know how to cook meat.
But let's be honest.
I just alienated like 90% of our listeners.
You absolutely did. But I'm going to bring it back right now. But let's be honest. Grilling, no matter what form it is, way better. Way better than anything you could make in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. But you're right. Charcoal is the way to go.
And, you know, I don't want to kick things off getting a little woo-woo. But I love the Zen aspect of like setting up a charcoal grill. And like creating the little charcoal pyramid and like letting it burn down and spreading the coal.
That ain't woo woo. That's like your caveman instinct, right? But oh, and people who Martin alienated, don't be at in Geekvine, don't be at in Nerdy Legion or at in Nick Wetmore with, you understand the charcoal when it burns, it lets go of gases that's impurities and blah. Don't add us with those. We won't even read those hyperlinks. You want any response from us? Martin, what will they get if they send us charcoal admissions hyperlinks? You know what response they'll get from us?
The big fat mute button.
There you go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Oh, so tell me, what are you grilling on that thing other than big old slabs of meat?
Everything, man. My wife is just disgusted all the time. Because she went to Whole Foods last week. It was the week before.
Okay.
And I was like, I want to try this. I want to try this. I want to try this. And like, I can't get it here. I was like, see if any of that stuff is at Whole Foods. She found me a tub of chicken hearts.
Oh, golly. Yes.
So I did some chicken heart kebabs. They were delicious.
You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to say a certain type of cut of meat. Or a certain type of like fish fillet that you can't find at regular grocers. And then without even looking at the price, she brought it home and it was like a $55 like sandwich. And you were like, $55? Like, what?
Yep. But it's good though, because like we normally don't eat steak. Because you know, like if you eat steaks, like it adds up quickly.
Oh yeah.
But at the same time, like you eat it like a nice big juicy steak and you're just full, right? Like you're not eating anything else. So like yesterday I made some New York strips and I saw the pack that she bought. It was like $30. She made some broccoli and mashed potatoes and stuff to go with it for her and Reagan.
Thanks.
But like she was so stuffed, man. And like I just had to strip and I was freaking like just chilling on the couch watching Invisible Man with her. We'll talk about that too. It was delicious.
So your carnivore diet, is it strictly you are only eating meat?
Yes.
Wow. So what's your breakfast consist of? Just like breakfast sausages?
Eggs and coffee.
Okay, so you can have eggs. All right, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, anything. If it comes from an animal, you can have it, basically.
So you could have like goat's milk cheese.
Yes. So the carnivore forks, folks, not forks, don't recommend a lot of dairy.
Mm.
Because it's not as nutritious as the meat itself.
Okay.
But you can have dairy if you want.
Mm. So are you just jerking it up left and right?
Man, I need to. So now that I have a grill, I think I'm going to try to make some jerky, some cooked jerky.
Ooh.
Because the grill that I bought has an option to turn it into a smoker.
Oh, very good. What were you when you went in search of a grill? What were you looking at, or did you just like do your standard, like we talked last week? Did you do your standard web research?
Nope, I did no research.
Wow, that's unlike you.
I did no research. I went to the store and I bought a grill. That was the whole process.
Holy cats. But were you thinking in your head, like, I need one that has a smoker, or I need one that has those side grill attachments, anything like that?
Nope. I just wanted something simple that I could cook some meat on. That's it. And I wanted it to be big enough where I could do, like, you know, six steaks at the same time, basically.
Nice. So, right. Like, a Weber grill would be perfect.
Sure. Sure. So yeah, I didn't look for anything. And then I was looking around, and I saw this one grill. I mean, it was cheap, dude. It was, like, $40, $50. And the reason I bought this grill, Nick, you know, me and simplicity. Gotta be simple or I don't want it. It was already put together.
Nice.
It has wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So I can roll it in and out. Because we have, so if you go out on the deck, there's an enclosed section, and then a door, and there's a secondary deck that's open.
Gotcha.
And so, of course, when it rains, I don't want to leave the grill out there.
Right.
And so I wanted wheels so I could wheel it in. And nice. Wheel it back out.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's very simple, but it's great. I love it. So I've made like chicken hearts. I made some liver for myself. I've done a lot of steaks, a lot of burgers. It's been great.
So are you eating a lot of like organs, that type of thing?
Yes.
Sweetbreads?
Yeah, well, so the problem is my wife just hates the look of organ meat.
Of course. A lot of people do.
A lot of people, which I understand, right? Like you're not used to eating that kind of thing.
That's just like me in love with gamey meat, but I totally understand when somebody says it's a little irony. And it's like, but, you know, that's why I like it. I like that flavor combo.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's why people don't like liver.
Right.
Right. It's very gamey.
No matter how much buttermilk you soak that in, you're still going to get a little bit of irony flavor.
So the thing is, so here's the trick.
Hmm.
Because I've always liked eating liver. I grew up eating liver.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents always made it because it's like super cheap, right? You can get like 5 pounds of liver for like $3.
Yep. Same with hearts.
Yes, same with hearts. Yeah, I think that tub of hearts was like 3 pounds. It was like $1.25.
Hell yeah.
Of course, like you're like eating freaking chicken hearts every day.
Well, yeah.
Because you know it only lasts like 2 weeks in the refrigerator, and like. Nobody even wants to look at it in the house, right?
No.
Like, let alone taste it.
Right.
Actually, I think Reagan tried it, but didn't really like it too much.
Did you dust them with like a little bit of flour? What did you do with them? Or just salt and pepper, throw them on the grill?
Just salt and pepper. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
The first time I tried to do them, I tossed them on a frying pan. The first time was a mistake. I cut them in half, make sure they cook through, and so they ended up being chewy.
Yeah.
Right? Because you cut them and you lose all the juices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the second time, I pan fried them whole and it was better, but it was like, it was still missing something.
Mm.
So I was like, I'm going to get a grill. That was actually the inspiration for me getting the grill was the chicken hearts.
Ah.
So I got the grill and I did kebabs. Well, I did burgers for everybody else and I did some heart kebabs. And they were perfect.
You didn't slide some of those chicken hearts into the burgers? Just to, give them a little special something?
No, but I did learn that you can sneak in liver to your family.
Ooh.
If you really wanted to. So I was looking at, Our Carnivore on Reddit. And, you know, liver is kind of an acquired taste, right? Like, if you grew up eating it, like, you're fine with it.
Sure.
But if you've never had it and you taste it, you're like, I can do without this.
Mm.
So what a lot of folks do is they do liver and ground beef and mix it together in a food processor, half and half.
I can see that.
And then it just tastes like the beef, but mm-hmm. you also get all the nutrients of the liver.
I can imagine that.
Which, so, and the reason why I'm doing organ meats, in case anyone's like, what the fuck is happening right now? Which they probably ask that question every single episode, but that's okay.
You're on the carnivore diet. Come on.
Well, you know, I'm always trying new things, Nick.
Yeah.
Right? I have to feed this luxurious beard.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Liver has a lot of nutrients in it.
It does. And it's like the only animal product that's like really high in B vitamins and vitamin C. Because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to get scurvy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Have my
Who
teeth
does?
Fall out.
Thank you.
So you got to have the organ meat. They're the most nutritious.
Have you had like Braunschweiger and like liver sausage?
So the reason I sent my wife out to Whole Foods was to try to find me some bloodwurst.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've talked about this. I haven't had bloodwurst in like decades. I was probably like 8 or 9 the last time I had it, and maybe even before that. It's been a very long time. Maybe 30 years since I've had Bloodwurst. And I remember the first time I tried Bloodwurst, I hated it. But then the second time I tried it, it was grilled to like crispy perfection on the outside. And at that point, I was like, this is good. Kind of like when you make, what's a better term for intestines? Whatever, intestines. When you make intestines, if you grill them, like they end up delicious. Cook them any other way, they just taste like hot garbage.
Yeah, there's only so many ways you can make tripe.
Yeah, there you go, tripe. That's the word I was looking for. So we'll see. So I'm trying all these different kinds of meats, and it's good because like I don't get bored of just eating meat because I'm not eating the same thing every day.
That's true.
Yep.
Very true. Now, can you have pork rinds?
Yeah.
I would think so because a lot of pork rinds, I read the ingredients and it's just like that and like sea salt if you just wanted to go plain.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep, it's good. And I'm eating a lot of bone broth because I have so much meat. Like there's always just like scraps left over. I just throw them in a pot and cook them for a day.
Nice.
Yeah, and the dogs love it because they get the scraps after I do the bone broth.
Heck yeah.
And that like they can, you can eat anything basically after that. Like even chicken bones are so soft that like dogs can eat.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been doing this?
About a month.
And how is it treating your body and like your alert state? Have you noticed any difference?
Oddly enough, no.
Okay.
You know, when I was doing the keto, like I felt very different.
Yeah. Your mental acuity was really popping.
Yeah. I felt very different. But doing this, I don't feel any different.
Okay. And why are you just doing this? Because it's a fringe diet and you thought it would be interesting?
No, I just like to do new things.
It wasn't like a doctor was like, you got to try carnivore.
No.
Okay.
No. I wanted to try it because I heard a lot about it. Like there's been a few people on Joe Rogan, for example, that come on and talk about it. I can't remember the guy that's like really popularizing carnivore, him and his daughter. But it's always sounded interesting, and I was like, hey, you know what? Let's just try something new.
That's good. Yeah, keep you on your toes, and now you have a grill, which is freaking awesome.
Yeah, yep. Oh. And you can blame my father-in-law, because he was given, like, tons of locally caught fish.
Oh!
And deer meat, like, different cuts of deer meat. And, like so much that he didn't know what to do with it, so he gave us some.
Heck yeah.
Like he gave us like 10 pounds of deer meat, at least 10 pounds of fish, and some other stuff. And,
I'd be jerking up that deer.
Well, so what was the first one? I think the first one, yeah, the first one we had was the ground deer, ground meat.
Hell yeah.
And so I made some burgers out of that. There was some flank steaks that were really good.
Dang.
Like really thinly cut. So it almost looked like a burger,
but the like the best roadkill you ever ate,
probably. So that was good. I've got some stew meat in there, so I'm gonna see if I can make some deer stew. Yeah, throw that baby in the crock pot.
But you can't add veggies and stuff to it.
Well, that's true. So I got to see how I'm gonna do that.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's not like I'm still allowing myself like a day of a cheat day. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So maybe I'll just throw veggies in there and do that.
Yeah, and your family isn't big on leftovers, so that'll be one day of food. That's it.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that's been fun.
That sounds like fun.
I've been enjoying it. I'm gonna make some squid tomorrow.
Ooh.
Because the kids have never had squid.
All right.
And fancy. I think I've only made it for my wife one time. And I just got to see how I'm going to do it, because I usually stuff it with rice. But obviously, so I got to see how I'm going to stuff.
Yeah, you could just fry up some rings for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Stuff it for them.
That's true. But that's not as fun.
That'd be a gigantic plate of rings, though, I would think.
Well, and that's the weird thing, too. Like, I'll just like fry up a whole pound of ground beef, you know what I mean, and just eat that. My wife's like, that's so disgusting. I'm like, what's disgusting about it?
Do you put the whole pound of ground beef into a dog dish? And then, like, that is so gross. Please use a fork. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I'm using utensils. But my wife is, like, my wife has always been really strict about, like, every meal. Well,
If it's has like, to go on a paper plate, we know.
It has to be on a, no, not on a paper plate, a divided plate.
Divided paper plate, yes.
Yes. No, but like for dinner.
As you just completely fry your brain, like, wait, that's a divided plate and all you have in every section is ground beef. Her head explodes.
So my wife is very weird about the meal. So like for breakfast, she like for me and her, it doesn't really matter, right? Mm. But like the kids, there has to be some kind of fruit in your breakfast.
Gotcha.
Okay. For lunch, like there has to be some kind of veggie. Like even if it's just like little carrots or whatever, mm. like you have to have some kind of veggie. And then for dinner, like it has to have a grain, it has to have a veggie, and it has to have a meat.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And like this is for everything. Like even if I make spaghetti. That's why a lot of times I would make like homemade spaghetti sauce because then I can do the other two things in the sauce.
Mm. You know what I mean?
Instead of buying just like whatever the hell they put in that store-bought sauce.
Right.
This way I'd always did like ground beef and like onions, peppers, tomatoes and stuff in my sauce. And then that's allowed, right? Because you have your grain, your meat, and your veggie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, so she's very particular about that. So whenever I try like new things that don't fit that, she's like, you're not going to like get sick, right, or anything. I'm like, that's fine. Cool. There was did I ever tell you the story about that guy that just lived off potatoes?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, there was a guy that lived off, like, all he ate was potatoes every day for like a year. And he was perfectly healthy.
That's right up there with the guy that ate 3 Big Macs a day for decades.
Yeah. I think it has more to do with, like, your genetics than else, you know what I mean?
I completely agree.
I think some people just respond better to certain things. Because, I mean, like, think about how many people you know that have, like, grandparents in their, let's say, like, 90s that smoke, like, 2 packs a day,
mm-hmm.
right? And, like, don't even cough.
Right.
Like, they're perfectly fine. And then, like, when they quit smoking, they die.
Mm-hmm. It's just genetic.
Yeah, just genetics. So anyways, so this is what I'm doing now. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but this is what I'm doing now.
What would be the craziest diet you would ever go on?
I mean, I think carnivore's pretty crazy now.
Well, I'm thinking like, oh, some idiot comes out with like, oh, the Hostess cupcake diet. Would you just be like, science be damned, that's what I'm going to try. Hostess cupcakes 24/7. And on your cheat day, you can have a Hostess fruitcake.
Hmm.
And then you discover 3 months from now that guy's being paid by Hostess.
Sure. I don't know. Like, I don't find any diet crazy because I like so many different kinds of foods, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That to me, like, there's no such thing as a crazy diet. Like, I'm cool with, like, organ meats, like, throw bugs in there. Like, whatever. I don't care. You know? As long as, like, it feeds me and provides me with nutrients, like, I'm fine with it. Unlike my wife, where, like, it has to be, like, each piece of the meal in its own individual section of the plate. Like, they can never touch each other, which makes no sense, of course. I always tell her, I'm like, when it goes in your belly, it's all touching.
It must drive her crazy during the holidays when there's, like, 40 different choices and she only has, like, 3 segments to put her stuff in the plate. Must drive her crazy.
So I do wonder sometimes, like, if some of that has to do with her anxiety, and I don't know, like, how that would be, because, like, it seems to me more like an OCD thing, right?
Oh, for sure.
But my wife's not OCD.
But it's like a control thing.
Maybe. And last
I had one of my buddies that he would only eat, like, if there's 6 things that he can eat. He would start one item, and he wouldn't go on to the next item till that one item's completely done. And I'm just like, no, I grew up having, like, I am a casserole boy. So you could literally fold all 6 of those in on the plate together. And I'd be like, all right, let's go. It might look gross and green and gray, but I don't care. Whatever.
I mean, I wonder if that's kind of it, right? I mean, I don't know, like, how you grew up, but we grew up pretty poor. And so there were a lot of stews and stuff like that.
Oh, same here. I was watching a video and somebody was doing garlic bread, mm-hmm. and they were using hamburger buns. And I was like, That's how mom does it. That's how Jana does it. The cheapest hamburger bun, no-name hamburger bun, with a little bit of melted butter and then powdered garlic or garlic powder. And in the video, then they're like, oh, and then you can add grated cheese on top. And I looked over at my wife. I'm like, what are we at, an Italian restaurant? All of a sudden, that just got fancy. So to answer your question, yes, we were lower middle class, if that.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I don't know if you ever watch Three Levels of Cooking. Have you ever seen that on YouTube?
No.
Who is it? I think it's Epicurious.
Oh, okay.
They do three levels of cooking, right? So they have like just like an average Joe cooking like onion rings. I think onion rings was the latest one.
Okay.
Cooking onion rings. And then they have like a home chef, right? Like somebody that is like a foodie that loves, like, kind of like us, I guess, maybe.
Sure.
That really loves cooking and enjoys the experience. Do that same thing, right? So let's say onion rings. And they have a professional chef do it.
With all the bells and whistles.
Right.
Where the average Joe is forgetting to put salt on the onion ring after it's done. That type of thing. like oop.
Well, and so, like, with onion rings, like, one of the things was, like, how thick you cut them, right?
Sure.
So, like, the average Joe was doing, like, kind of thin ones, mm-hmm. and then the pro chef was doing, like, these giant, thick onion rings.
Mm.
Like, the batter's different, right? Like, the average Joe doesn't know anything, so they'll do, like, whatever, flour and salt, right?
Right.
And then, like, the home chef will do, like, the dip into eggs, and then, like, coat it with flour, and then re-dip and do a coat of, like, cornmeal.
Sure.
And then, like, the pro chef is, like, no dip. Like, you just use the natural juices of the onions, and you just dip it into these delicious homemade panko breadcrumbs. I'm like, who makes homemade panko breadcrumbs, right? But like that, right?
Yeah. Or it's really, like one of the high level chefs is adding beer to it, that type of thing.
Sure, yeah,
like a beer batter.
Right. So it's always interesting to watch. So you should check it out.
I will.
Yeah, I think it's just called Three Levels of Cooking.
Okay.
And then they also have a like a food critic, I guess maybe. That like at the end goes through each process and explains like how they're different and why the pros do it a certain way. As opposed to the way like normal people.
Nice. I'll check it out.
It's pretty interesting.
I will check it out.
Yes. How did that come about? I can't remember.
You were talking about your lower middle class growing up.
Oh, yes. Making stews.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we had a lot of stews. And then, of course, you know, I've talked about the barbecues before where they're just like making an entire cow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have like tripe and tongue and brain and marrow and whatever. Liver, all kinds of meat. Just couldn't get used to that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
But, you know, my wife has gotten more adventurous.
Sure.
Since we've been together, so that's good.
Yeah, she likes bone marrow on her hamburgers. Well, if she knew there was bone marrow on her hamburger, she would have loved it.
Yes.
So how many eggs are you eating?
Oh, shit, like six, man.
Six a day?
Yeah. So I'm only having like two meals. So I usually have breakfast and dinner.
Oh.
Just because, like, I'm just not as hungry. You know what I mean?
Would you say it's a calculated type of fasting, or that's just how your normal work day happens?
I mean, I don't generally have time for lunch anyway.
Mm.
And a lot of times, if I take a lunch break, it's not to eat. It's just to like get away.
Oh yeah.
Right.
I get
it. So I don't really care for lunch. To be honest, like, I don't care too much for breakfast. But sometimes, like, if I get up in a rush, I just feel like I have to eat something. So maybe that's something I need to work on. Ideally, I would just, like, do one big meal when I get home. But that doesn't work out either. I mean, I think now my schedule's back to normal enough where I probably could.
Oh, good.
But for a while, like, there was none of that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I remember those weeks.
Right.
For you.
Yes, for me. I don't remember. I'm glad you remember.
I won't remind you of them, but I do remember them.
But it's been an interesting week, too. So we watched Invisible Man last night. Did you see my tweet? Man, it was busy yesterday.
I did not see your tweet about it.
Okay. So because yesterday I did the stakes. I finished watching Superman Red Son. I watched Invisible Man with my wife. I had a conference call, and then I had to rewrite a text message to my boss about 15 times because there was something mentioned in the conference call that really irked me. And so I crafted a text, and because I know that I have no filter, I had my wife read the text, and she immediately said, "Can't say that." And so I rewrote it, and she proceeded to reiterate to me that I also could not say that, or the next thing, or the next.
Ooh.
Apparently, there was one particular word she did not like. There was no profanity in this. There was one particular word she did not like. So I rewrote it where it meant the same thing, but with a different word.
Sure.
And she approved of that, and I sent it. Mm-hmm. And my boss is like, "What?"
Uh-oh.
Anyways, that's I don't know. Do I want to go into the story?
I don't know.
Let's come back to that story. I might tell that story.
I just wanted to know about Invisible Man.
I will tell you, it proved to me last night that nobody's learning jack shit from this coronavirus. That's what this proved to me last night.
Ooh. Oh, my.
Okay. All right. Anyways, Invisible Man.
The movie proves to you about corona or this conference call? What are you talking about?
This conference call slash very brief text conversation with my boss.
Did your boss say that he's sick and he's still coming into the office, so everyone else should be just as dedicated? Is that what he's saying?
No.
Okay.
It was worse than that.
Now I want you to go into it.
I'm trying to think if I can talk about this. Nobody knows what company I work for, so I can probably just talk about this.
Yeah, but what if some of your coworkers listen off chance?
Oh,
I don't want you to get fired. I know you want to get fired, but I don't want you to. I don't want that on my shoulders.
All right, I'm not going to tell the story. I'll tell you off the record. But let me tell you, I was so mad. And Nick, you know I don't get mad.
Rarely.
It takes so much to get me angry.
You don't even get mad once a year. That's how little you get mad.
I was so mad last night.
Hmm.
I started crying. That's how mad I was.
Jeez. Oh. Just out of frustration?
I guess.
Oh, God, that's worse.
I was so angry. And then I woke up this morning. Mm-hmm. I woke up at 5:30.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And I said, you know what? Fuck this shit. And I went back to sleep.
Nice.
And I woke up at 10 o'clock.
Nice.
And I got up to go to the bathroom. I fell asleep on the couch last night because I was watching. I think I put on Bloodshot again. So I fell asleep on the couch.
Mm-hmm. And
my wife is working from home. She set up a makeshift office in the dining room.
Finally, good. Good for her.
And so, I get up to go to the restroom, and so I have to walk like past the dining room to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Hey, babe, like, still here?" Like, I thought you were at work. Listen, I was so good. I was hiding so well on that couch, so deeply asleep, that she let the dogs out twice this morning before I woke up.
Wow.
And did not realize I was on this couch. Anyways, I did have my peace blanket on.
Nice.
So that's what she says. And I said, you know, I was so angry this morning, I just went back to sleep.
Smart.
So I go to the bathroom, wash my teeth, put some water on my face, brush my beard. I go to work. Right? So I get to work at like 11 o'clock.
Oh, such a shame.
Okay. I walk in, and one of my coworkers is like, made some joke. Because, like, you know me, I'm a happy guy. I joke with everybody.
For sure.
And I walk in, and my coworker's like, what do you say? Oh, happy you could join us or whatever.
Oh,
like,
glad you could finally make it.
Glad you could finally make it. You're only 3 hours late. And I said, tell you something, not today.
Look, motherfucker.
And I just kept
walking.
I will
beat your eyeball. I am carnivore right now.
I kept walking. I go in my office, and she came in there. She's like, you all right? I said, I'm fine. I don't want to talk about it. Another one of my coworkers comes in, starts telling me about something that happened in the morning. I was like, that's fine. She's like, that's fine. Wrong with you? And I was like, listen, I had this conference call last night, fucking livid right now, I don't want to talk. Which I ended up telling him afterwards. He's like, that's
yeah.
So anyways, So I was very angry.
Mm.
But Invisible Man, fantastic movie.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you wish?
Bring it back.
Remember. Let's go to Invisible Man now. Remember when we talked about it before, and I said how the trailer sort of ruined things, where you thought it possibly could be that she's crazy. Did they go down that road at all, or did she, or was it always very obvious that this person is wearing a suit to make himself invisible and stalking her?
No, I think that was pretty obvious.
Okay. Darn.
For the people watching the movie.
Right. Dang,
obviously not for the characters in the film. That's
sure.
like what drives the whole plot of the movie.
Right.
I
would rather like it to be a crazy thing than a stalker thing as the audience.
A crazy thing or a stalker thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is that.
Well, I mean, I don't, as an audience member, when I was watching that trailer, I loved it up until the point where the Invisible Man's thrown around the cops and people. Then you know, shoot, that isn't all in her head. That actually is a stalker, not her crazy. Because half the trailer was, it looked like she was crazy, like she's seeing stuff.
Yes, and it kind of does play that way in the film.
Okay.
I'll give you a basic setup.
Like, sure.
The house that they live in is ridiculous.
Of course. Like, and it's in like San Francisco, where it's like who could ever own a house that huge in San Francisco?
Boy, no, it gets better.
Oh,
do they show it in the trailer? I can't remember.
I only saw little bits of the house.
Okay, this house. Not only is it in San Francisco, it's like on top of a hill in San Francisco with like nothing around, right? Like
Robin Williams' house.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a mountaintop fortress.
Oh, look, there's no... It's weird, because it almost looks like a soundstage.
I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, this looks like it might be somebody's real-life house.
Like, where's our neighbors? Oh, they're way over there.
Yeah, all the peons are down there. We're up here on this mountain. So it is on top of this hill. Several hundred feet on top of everybody else.
Sheesh.
The entire house, all the exterior walls are glass.
Ooh, pretty.
The interior is an open layout. So there are no walls in this house.
Wow.
There are like dividing walls. But like, for example, the bedroom has a wall on the left, a wall on the right. Then the third wall is the exterior glass. So you can see like a full view of the bay, right?
Sure.
But then there's no fourth wall. It's just like open into the rest of the house. Like every room is this way.
Okay.
It's very interesting. I've saw this once. God, what's that? There's a show that I saw on Netflix that was kind of like this. And it's mostly like architect houses.
Yeah. Was it the one that I told you about that had the bomb shelter that he renovated?
Probably.
Because there was another episode where it was a Japanese gentleman who had all collapsible walls that could be rearranged.
Mm, yeah. Yep, something like that. So the house is gorgeous.
Mm,
gorgeous.
Sure.
And then, like, he's got a bat cave.
Ooh.
Right, the guy. So when it opens up, like, they're both in bed, right? Elizabeth, what's her name? Moss?
Moss.
Yes, Elizabeth Moss and a guy are in bed. And like she gets up, and you see like she obviously drugged him,
right?
And she's trying to escape. So like you get the idea that he's kind of abusive.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then you really get that when she like makes it to the road, and her sister, she had called her sister to pick her up, and like he just comes running out of the woods and like punches through the glass, the window of the car.
Wow.
So you're like, okay, there's something wrong with this dude. 2 weeks later, he dies. He's dead. Okay, so now she supposedly is going to inherit like $5 million from this guy. And that's kind of when things get going. Okay, because there are some stipulations on how she can keep this money. And one of them is that she will not commit a crime. Of course, they do say he's like an optics expert.
Oh, there you go. I was wondering when they were going to bring that in.
Yeah. He's like an engineer that works in optics. But you don't see the costume until nearly the end of the film.
How completely cool is that costume?
It's awesome.
Yeah, I bet. Oh,
it's awesome. It's like, what does it look like? I don't know. I can't compare it to anything.
Does it look like cool. a uniform that somebody in the X-Men would be wearing?
Oh, dude, yes.
Heck yeah. That's Hell how yeah. I'm picturing it, yeah. Not military, but like a superhero.
Yes.
Like, we've all seen those, like, military bend light outfits. Like, those look cool, but they ain't superhero-y.
yes. So, yeah, when you actually see... Because the whole time, when he's, like, stalking her throughout mm-hmm. the movie, you hear these, like, clicking noises,
huh.
right? And we always have the subtitles on.
Yeah, of course.
And so, and it even says it on there, like, light clicking, right?
Oh.
But you can hear it, like, and the whole movie's like, my wife's like, what the hell is all this clicking? Like, what's clicking?
What would you equate that sound to? Is it like fingernails on a wood floor type of thing?
No, I would say more like...
Or is it like an electronic clicking?
So I've heard like a similar sound effect with like beetles and stuff in movies. Like when they like touch their wings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just like a little...
Or like scrape their back legs together, that type of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like a very slight clicking.
That's some cool audio. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
And when you see the costume and you hear the click sound along with the tech of the costume, mm-hmm. it makes perfect sense.
Neat. So it wasn't like a predator clicking.
Not quite like a predator clicking.
Okay, because that was pretty obvious. It wasn't all too subtle.
Right.
Oh, dang it. You're making me want to see this.
Yeah, you got to see it. You got to see it. So,
is it too horror-y or suspenseful for me?
I mean, it is a Blumhouse film.
I know. That's what I'm worried about. We talked about this.
Which we did talk about this, and I totally forgot because we're watching this movie, right?
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
and then at that first sequence when she like runs away from the house
yeah.
and is like running through the woods and you have like the scary movie music.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, a Blumhouse movie.
Yep.
So of course my wife proceeded to tell me that it was.
Of course.
But
and then she immediately said, could you just be quiet? I'm trying to watch this.
But it's very well done. The cinematography is very simple. There's usually through most of the movie there's like very few characters on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do a really good job with like camera angles. And the camera panning, because you know the Invisible Man is invisible 80% of the film,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
maybe more. So you can't like show that he's like hiding behind the couch, right?
Right.
So there's got a way to do that. I think one of the best examples is just seen in so the when she runs away, her sister picks her up, and her I think her sister's a cop, either a cop or a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And she places her with one of her friends who is a detective. And beautiful house for a detective, by the way. like much more normal than the house she came from, but beautiful sure. home. And so there's a scene where she's cooking breakfast, right, in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And when it starts off, you see like there's a wraparound counter in the kitchen. And so when you first see that scene, it's like directly above the counter. Right, so the shot ends at the end of the counter,
uh-huh.
And she's cooking the eggs and talking whatever, and like as she's talking to somebody else in the house, like it slowly starts panning out to the left. But you know, usually when you have like a camera move like that or a pan, wherever the character on screen is still the focus of the shot, right? Whereas uh-huh. with this, that's not the case at all. The focus of the shot is always the center of the screen. So as the camera angle expands to the left, she keeps moving further to the right. So
sure.
like when you start figuring out that like maybe this dude is like right there in the kitchen.
Mm.
Well, you start thinking that, but like nothing's happening to tell you that, right?
Mm.
She's just like cooking eggs and talking and the camera's panning out. And so you see like the entire kitchen like into, I guess, like I don't know if it was a hallway or a living room or something, like really far out, like way farther out than it should. You see like this knife kind of like just like gets picked up. She goes off screen, by the way. Like she goes out of the kitchen to talk to the cop's daughter who is upstairs.
Mm.
But the camera doesn't move, right? So Elizabeth Moss just leaves, and the eggs are still cooking, the eggs and the bacon. You uh-huh. see this knife like get picked up, but the camera doesn't move, and then you see like the smoke get heavier at the pan. And like that's kind of when the angle shifts towards that part of the kitchen, but you still have a very wide angle to the left. And then like the thing catches on fire and and then like things start getting kind of heated. So there's a lot of that where like there's way more shown of the environment than you normally would. Just because like the character is hiding off on the in the corner, right? And like
But still
that's how you know in the movie that it's
following her
happening.
everywhere.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So that's how
But
you
it,
know he's in the shot, even though you can't see him.
I like that more than he sits down on a couch and you see the depressed like couch cushion.
Right.
Like
Yeah,
that's pretty obvious.
there's very little of that.
That's good.
I think that exact thing happens once.
Sure.
There's also a scene much later when she's in a hospital and she knows that he's walking in the room because she sees the footprint on the carpet. And then there's one scene where like she's sleeping, she's in bed, and she's sleeping in the same bed as the cop's daughter, right? Because they don't have like a guest room, I guess. So they're sleeping in the same bed, and like the covers are getting pulled off the bed, and she wakes up and like doesn't know what the hell's going on, how the covers got there. But like she, you know how like you can feel somebody behind you?
Sure.
So she gets that feeling like there's somebody in the room, but I can't see anybody. And so what she does is like she slowly lifts up the covers so they're kind of like stretched out, and then she can see like him walking towards her because like the cover's getting pushed down into the ground. So it really well done. Aside from that, like there's not much of that at all,
Okay.
right? And so it's kind of weird when like she's fighting the guy, right? Like he's holding her up like 3 feet from the ground, and she's just like flailing her legs, right? And like punching air. But really well done. Really well done. I
How
enjoyed it.
was the ending satisfying? I don't need to hear the ending, but was it satisfying for you? How was Elizabeth Moss?
I mean, Elizabeth Moth is great in everything she does.
Yeah.
And this movie is no exception.
Okay.
The ending to me was satisfying. It was actually doubly satisfying because, like, very early on in the movie, there's a character that shows up, and I made a comment to my wife about character just purely as a joke, right? Because you know me, I love horror movies. And so, like, regardless of how, like, new and creative certain things might be, I think the best horror movies always like nod their hats at like typical tropes, right? And so this character shows up. I'll just say who it is. It's the her ex's brother, who also happens to be his lawyer and like executor of his estate. So this guy shows up, and so as a total joke, I'd tell my wife something about this guy. And then towards the end, like this exact thing happens in the movie, right? And she's like, "Oh my God, you were right." I was like, "Yeah, but that's not true at all. Like that's the twist." She's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Let's just see, right? Because there's only like 10 minutes left at this point." And sure enough, like I was right, right? Like you had
Dang.
he set up in one way, and then there's a twist, and then like you get this other thing happening. But yeah, so the ending is very satisfying. I think a large part due to her performance, because when the movie starts off, like she's very meek and like obviously a victim of abuse. And by the end, she's just like a badass, right? And even at some points, like closer to the end, you're like you can tell she's not the same, but also like even though she's still playing. She's still very distressed, obviously, from certain things. It seems like, well, is she just like pretending to be distressed right now? And then you get a couple of things that happen towards the end, and you're like, okay, maybe she was at this point pretending like she was still this weak woman.
Yeah, not letting on.
So, and I can't do any further than that because then it'll spoil the ending. And I thought the ending was really.
No, I don't want to hear about the ending, but the conceit that she can't commit a crime or she loses all that money is his whole point is he's going to lose her, so he's cuckoo enough that he would rather fake his own death to have her commit a crime. So I'm guessing that his estate would go over to his brother.
So what you just said partially has to do with some things that I predicted about this movie fairly early on, and whether those things are true or not, I will not say.
Sure.
Let me just say, watch the movie. But basically, the way that it comes off is like she drugged them and left them. And he's always been one of these people that like can convince anybody to do anything for him. Right? Like very controlling of people.
Gotcha. Knows how to manipulate others.
Yes, very manipulative. And she is the only one that has done this to him, just like left him.
Mm.
And so he basically wants to punish her, but not like not kill her, but punish her so she understands that like she needs to be with him.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Which to me ended up being a little bit of a plot hole. And again, I'm not going to go into specifics.
No, I don't want it ruined.
Which I think ended up being a little bit of a plot hole, but the way that it plays out, I think that's maybe answered a little bit.
Sure.
So, well, anyways,
I just saw a 48 Hours, that new show that's on CBS, and it was all about the woman who an ex boyfriend who was stalking her. He killed her. It was one of Drew Carey was engaged to her after those two dated. So that was sort of like the tangential link. But the episode was all about stalkers and, you know, the laws that govern them, how like child molesters are a lot more locked down than stalkers are.
Right.
Judicial system. And they talked to two women who have stalkers at various points still locked up. But, you know, one of the people he was going to get out this year, which was chilling. But both of them said that because they asked, you know, are you still scared? And both of them were like, it's not really up to us when this person wants to come and commit violence on us because we have no idea what's going to trigger that person. They're both pretty much saying like we're not rubbing like our presence in that person.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to completely avoid and isolate us, but anything could trigger it. So it's interesting that you just saw a movie about stalker. It's pretty scary when you hear like a clinical psychologist talking about how they're just a little bit like anything possibly could set them off.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing a song, you know, that type of thing. It's just like, oh my gosh, that is frightening.
And of course, like I haven't seen a lot of widespread talk of this, but I have seen some stories about, you know, all these people being quarantined, or not quarantined, but like locked down, right, where you can't leave home.
Right.
What about people that are in abuse ships and are kind of stuck in this situation forcefully now?
Right.
Right.
Or all of a sudden you got the reprieve of like, oh, they are going to a 9-to-5 job or I'm going to a 9-to-5 job. And now, you know, things are a little bit more easy. But yeah, you're stuck in a home right on top of each other. Whew. Mm-hmm. Things could escalate.
Yep. So Invisible Man, I recommend you watch it.
I highly recommend. And
yeah.
And where is it on the Blumhouse scale? Give me a movie that you liked more and a movie that you liked less.
I don't know. Blumhouse has done a lot of movies, so that's hard to think of. I mean, off the top of my head, like I liked Halloween better.
Okay.
But
Summer. Where would you put that Summer?
I have not seen that yet. Midsummer?
Really?
Yeah.
With the weird cult, everyone's wearing white. Yep. Yeah.
I'm watching that this weekend because it's on Prime.
Ooh. So
it's free to watch.
You tell me if that's up for Nick. Because I'm dying to see it. I love the concept of it.
Yeah, the concept's cool. So I will tell you next time we record how Midsummer was. I couldn't say, but I mean, I've seen a lot of Blumhouse movies, and sure, like I just saw this, but I would say it's one of the better ones.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, I would say it's one of the better because I'm not a big fan of like Paranormal Activity and those. Like Reagan loves those; she's obsessed with Paranormal Activity, and I think they're like the worst garbage ever made.
Hey, to each their own. Tons of horror genres. You know, there's something out there for everyone.
Well, and I think like a lot of times you tend to gravitate towards like the things you watch as a kid,
mm-hmm.
right? Or like get involved as a kid. So like we love comics because we got involved in comics early on. Like I love horror movies because my dad and I watched horror movies when I was like, you know, starting at like 6. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So like I just love those things. And maybe like Paranormal Activity is one of the first like horror flicks that Reagan saw, so maybe that's why she loved Paranormal Activity. I don't know.
There you go.
I think they're terrible. But yeah, so highly recommend it. It's rental only.
Oh, that's shocking.
Well, because it's just like Bloodshot, right? It was like just in theaters, and then theaters get shut down.
No, I'm saying yes. It's a brand new film, just like Bloodshot. Why wouldn't the theaters be like, oh, you can buy that? Wink, wink. Oh, rental will be coming in a couple of months, but right now you're hard up and you're willing to spend that money.
I think. Well, I mean, it's from a big studio, right? It's NBC
mm-hmm.
Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as a result of that, they expect a higher return on their investment.
I would hope so.
Yes. So it's $19.99 to rent.
To rent?
Yes.
Oh, so that's like the price of two movie tickets is how they're looking at it.
Probably, yeah.
Because, boy, $19.99, that's usually to buy.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's a brand new movie, right? Like, it was in theaters right. for like a week.
Yeah, well, it's not even out on DVD, so. Yeah.
So, which I bought a few movies. I rented Invisible Man. Uh-huh. I got Birds of Prey. That was also $19.99. Have not watched it yet.
Oh, come on. The one movie I've watched.
I'll watch that this weekend.
Okay.
I bought Bloodshot. And there was one other one that I got. I can't remember.
How much was Bloodshot?
$19.99.
Oh, to rent.
To buy.
Oh, to buy. That seems like a bargain compared to $19.99 rental.
Yeah, it's a bargain.
Damn.
I mean, I spent $13 on a movie ticket to go by myself.
Right.
So $20, I was like, yeah, no brainer.
That for sure. That's no great. I did not know that was to buy. Great.
Yes. And I have seen it twice already since I bought
it. Nice.
I think Ronnie has seen it like 18 times.
Well, he just lets that roll constantly in the background at this point. He'll be acting out scenes next year when we see him.
He's talking about like quote unquote working, but he's watching Bloodshot. And then like a couple hours later, we record a podcast and like he's still playing it in the background. and then last night we did the big Valiant thing, right? Where all the Valiant podcasts got together and did a thing. And like he was still watching it like as we're recording.
So Ronnie does like the film. That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, Ronnie loved the film. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm
Ronnie
joking.
Loved it. Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, interesting times we're living in, Nick. You know what I mean? Interesting
Dude, times. I don't know if it was with you or with Ronnie that I spieled this. If this is what it takes, God forbid, for the movie theaters or not movie theaters. For the movie companies to realize, hey, we could be putting out these movies digitally as well in theaters, and it still be pretty darn profitable. Right now, you know the theaters have a stranglehold on, oh, you want us to carry an Invisible Man, but you're putting it out day one digital? No, then we won't do that. And if this is what that takes for all of a sudden that bridge to be broken on especially major films. Yeah, documentaries will still do day one digital as well. But, oh, bring it on.
Yeah.
Because whether we're social distancing or not, there's times that I don't want to go to the movie theater. I love the movie theater experience, but there's times where it's like, I just don't want to go. So that's great. If I have to pay $20 to be able to rent it for, I'm guessing, 24 hours? Or do you just rent it once?
Oh, that's the other thing that I bought was Red Sun.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is the rental period for 24 hours
it's 40,
or once
48
you
hours?
It? Oh shit, that's even better.
Yeah, 48 hours. Yeah, that's why I like doing them on Amazon because 48 hours.
That's really nice. Because I would hate for them once you watch it once, it's like whoop, that's done. I'm sure they have the technology to do that if they wanted to.
No, it's 48 hours, which is why I get it there. My wife watches a lot of stuff on her phone, so she gets a lot of stuff on the Google Play Store.
Sure.
Like I guess if you had an iPhone, you get it on iTunes or whatever. I don't know how it works on iTunes.
Yeah, whatever.
But if you do it on Google, I think it's 24 hours.
I think on Apple, I think it's the same way, 24.
Yeah, 24, yeah. I don't think that's enough, man. It's got to be 40, because what if, like, you fall asleep? Or, like, there's an emergency, or, like, you know, like there's a million things that can happen.
Or it's a kick-ass film and you actually want to watch it the next day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's great.
It's been a good week. Good week.
Yeah. Those are some good movies. And to have them at home, out of all those movies, especially with your busy work schedule, when would you ever have the time to be like, I'm going to go to the theater?
Mm-hmm.
And now here you are watching three films that probably only one of them you'd actually make time to go and see.
Well, and so I was thinking about this with Birds of Prey, because originally I was just going to rent it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know, like Zoe made me watch Suicide Squad like 20 mm-hmm. times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a comic book movie, you know what I mean? So I always buy the comic book movies.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't buy Suicide Squad. So we'll talk about Birds of Prey next
time. Yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
Even though I could give you a spoiler, but I won't.
Oh, give me a spoiler.
Birds of Prey is not Suicide Squad.
Great.
It's pretty special.
Great.
Yeah.
I like Suicide Squad.
Okay.
I know it's not the best movie, but don't at me.
No, a lot of people. I think I'm in the minority.
I don't think you're in the minority, Nick.
I hope not, but that's all right.
I think you're in the majority.
Oh, good.
But I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun.
Birds of Prey has some cool style bits that I absolutely love, and there's some comedy bits that really hit for me.
Yeah.
Like, my dad didn't even see Suicide Squad, and when we went together, like, even... that was one of the first superhero films we walked out of that he had no questions what was going on.
Hmm.
It was very straightforward and pretty funny, and I know he really liked it. So
my only wish is that we'd see more of this and less of what we're actually seeing. Because, like, for example, Black Widow, right? Like, that was coming out, what, June?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah, right around the corner.
You know when it's coming out now?
December.
It's coming out never.
What? Serious?
Black Widow has been rescheduled to indefinitely.
It's been S-canned?
I mean, I'm sure it'll still come out at some point.
But are you talking about it won't come out in theaters and, like, direct-to-video come out?
What they said is it's pushed back indefinitely. It's not even like we'll just put it out December.
Wow.
Which I think is what they did with Wonder Woman, right? So Wonder Woman was coming out pretty soon.
Yeah.
April or May. And I think that's been pushed back to...
Wow.
Yeah.
Just put it out digitally. Hey, hold on, Martin. Johnny Hollywood. Hey, put those movies out. We want to see them. Just let us rent them.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I will give you $20 and rent it.
Right. Only I'm going to go see Wonder Woman by myself. And yet, mm-hmm. instead of getting $10 from me, you could get $20 from me.
Mm-hmm.
I just let me rent it.
Yeah.
That's why I think this could really break AMC, Regal, Mark, you know, whatever movie theater chains around you. It really could break the stranglehold that they have over the movie theater. I mean, movie companies. I hope.
Well, one of the chains already, I think it was AMC, they quote unquote furloughed a ton of people. Furlough, by the way, is a positive term for they just canned them.
Terrible.
So I don't know, man. It could be tough. Like, there may be theaters that just, like, never reopen.
Yeah, of course. There could be a lot of businesses that way.
And then they'll have to do the rentals.
My hope is, since the theaters can't display their films, that now AMC can't say to Wonder Woman, well, we don't want you to release that digitally. Well, my response back to you would be, well, when can I show it in your theaters?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know when that is. It could be in a month. It could be next year. We don't know.
Well, you know, I think it's like with comic shops.
Mm. Are you saying that I can pull up to the curb and Johnny AMC will run Wonder Woman out to my car and show it to me through my car window? Is that what you're telling me?
No. What I mean is that I think a lot of businesses are still running on a very antiquated model.
Mm-hmm.
And they're opting to simply cease to exist instead of evolving.
Hey, look at GameStop. They had they brick and mortar stores had a stranglehold on video game companies. And then finally, when the internet caught up and it became viable for them to do day one releases, there was a good 6 month period where, as a console owner, I don't know how it is for PC, but as a console owner, we couldn't day one get a digital download of a game. You had to wait for a while before all of a sudden it became available.
Yep.
So, hey, if that's what happens to the movie theaters, I'm not mad. I'd probably see a hell of a lot of movies from NBC Universal. I'd see a hell of a lot more movies, but I wouldn't get that sweet-ass popcorn. Let's put it that way. Come on.
I mean, we have a lot of popcorn at home.
That's true.
We even get, like, hipster popcorn from downtown.
Oh, fancy.
The popcorn store.
Of course.
You know it's going to be expensive popcorn when all they sell is popcorn. And they have a storefront downtown.
Hell yeah. And if you order more than a pound and a half, all of a sudden it has to come in like a tin. Oh, and the tin is an extra $8, by the way. But that's the only way we can give it to you. It's too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they do it smart, though, because it's like, I don't remember exact pricing. Well, let's say it's like $6, right, for like a thing of popcorn.
Yeah.
Or you can get the tin for like $10, right?
Of course.
And the tin's like three times the size. So you're like, well, of course I'm going to just tin. And it doesn't matter because like it costs them 50 cents to make a tin of popcorn.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're the winners.
For sure. But also with that tin, let's not forget, that's a perfect target for your archery lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're correct.
I'm hoping since, you know, we're sort of self-isolating, I'm hoping come spring, summer, that I'm going to be hearing more about Martino out there with his compound bow.
Listen, as an essential employee, there is no isolate.
You know, right now, let's peek behind the curtain. Martin and I, we Skype each other. Back in the day, when we were on the old rotary dial phone, that answer of essential employee, you would have heard a gigantic Nick hitting his finger on one of the number dials, and you'd hear a big old beep in your fucking ear. Oh, God, I'd love to rip your company an a-hole. Are you kidding me?
Listen, I even got my get-out-of-jail-free card and everything.
What are you talking about? Guilt-free sex?
You know, my pass, in case I get stopped by the police.
All pass?
I can show them that I'm an essential employee.
Wow. Hmm. Well, I know somebody very close to me. Essential employee as well has to go into a job that's an accounting job.
That's essential.
How can you not do that remotely?
Like, listen.
Or how many people are like, how many people are going and getting stuff done other than extended, you know, tax days? But it's not like you're going to have a person go into your business at this point. No one's doing that. You might get the information sent to you electronically. Essential employees. Well, thank God you're out there. You know what? That's what our orange hair genius, you know, he wants to stimulate that economy. Get the Wall Street bigwigs going. Martin, can we just make a pledge to the listener right now? Because I know you have to go.
Sure.
Can we make a pledge right now? Unless something personally happens, like this essential employee bullshit, can we stop talking about this craziness and get to what Dirty Legion is founded on?
Mm.
It's founded on tickle sessions. It's founded on cardigan sweaters. It's founded on anime. I mean, read our description.
Mm. I don't think that's on there anymore.
I know it isn't, but it was hilarious that it was on there for 2 years. But, you know, people come to us for sunshine and lollipops. Can we give that to them?
Of course.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Thanks.
I think we have an anniversary soon.
Oh.
What is this? March? Let's see. April, May, June, July. Yeah, dude. In August.
Mm-hmm.
The first week of August will be our fifth anniversary.
Oh, golly. Well, when's our anniversary episode? The big one. That's coming up real soon.
Way 250. What episode is this? Let's see.
This is 250, and you were supposed to be popping magic mushrooms, and we forgot? What?
This is episode 237.
Hell yeah.
So that means, let's see here. I thought I had figured this out. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, June 25th.
Heck yeah. You know what's not going to be happening on that day?
What?
Social distancing. Oh, it is going to be a tickle fest. Are you kidding me on that day? Oh, man. Buckle up, Buttercup.
I might actually, I'm going to put it in right now. I'm gonna either take that week off or just take that Wednesday and Thursday off.
Will that be an essential day off? That's exactly how I would phrase it to whoever has to authorize that vacation time.
Listen, essential means you cannot take your vacations right now or anything like that.
What? Okay? Oh, my God.
Because we're essential to the economy.
Man. You guys love Trump over there, don't you?
Somebody does.
Hey, and your tweet, your Hillary Clinton tweet.
Oh, my God.
Dude, if you remember it, please share it, because I, oh, that killed me. That was so good.
Let me see if I can find it, like, super quick. Hang on.
Good God, that just killed me.
Because I don't think I've tweeted that much in the last couple of days. Maybe I have. I don't know.
I think it was 2 days ago, maybe.
2 days ago. Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Aaron Bell. Aaron Bell gets credit for that because he shared it on Discord.
Nice, Aaron Bell.
Yeah.
You get the silver star.
Yeah, he gets a silver star. You didn't like the one that I saw yesterday?
I might not have seen it.
Because I just saw this one. It's an office meme. And it says, what does it take to turn a Trump supporter into a socialist? You know what the answer is?
No.
$1,000. Get it? Get it? Get it? Oh, man. Where's this tweet at?
I mean, I can roundabout tell you what
nope,
the...
I got it. I got it.
Okay,
got
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Tweet.
Well, say your thing first and then say her tweet.
Okay. So I said, say what you will about the Clintons, but this tweet wins the internet today. From at Hillary Clinton. Please do not take medical advice from a man who looked directly at a solar eclipse.
So good. Oh, so good.
Don't you know everything's fine? The virus is fake news.
Freaking crazy.
Nobody's dying. Nurses are not using trash bags because they're out of supplies.
And trust me, I mean, everyone's losing their 401k. But I think everyone is chalking it up to, well, what are we going to do?
No, Nick, they're just losing it now. But if you just wait until Easter, everything's fine. And then your 401k will be back to normal.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care. Like, okay. Like, I get that, sure. But guess what? Everything bounces back. That's why it's just, what's the alternative for all of us to be essential employees that have to go into work? And interact with thousands of people.
But today I had to post signs around the place that we must respect social distancing. Please stay 6 feet.
Even though everyone's in a cubicle, so they're maybe half feet away from each other. Yeah. Okay.
Listen, I do what I'm told.
Exactly. I was about to say, legally, I understand what you have to do, but when you look at it realistically. But wow, telling people that they absolutely can't take vacation, that is crazy time. That's why I think it's essential that you take the day off of the thing so you can prep and get yourself in the right mindset, and then take the following day off to have a little calm down.
Mm.
Because we can go into the wee hours. I don't mind. I have social distanced myself from everyone except for my wife. She's the only one. As long as I don't get uber loud, you know what she'll do? She'll just distance sleep. That's what she'll do. Yeah.
I like it. Anyways.
Put that time.
Do what?
Put that time in.
Sure.
Get yourself ready.
Yeah, well, I was told that I had to go into work Saturday, and I said no.
Finally. Hell yeah. That's freaking crazy.
Anyways, let's wrap this up, Nick.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you for listening to The Nerd Legion with Nick and... Wait, what's my name?
Martin Ferretti.
Nick and Pork Rind.
Yeah.
The Nick and Pork Rind Hour. You can find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geek Fun, at Nerd Legion. And next week, we'll be back. We'll do a show. Bye-bye.